Welcome to the Bridge DFW podcast. The Bridge is a community of young adults and a ministry of Eagle Mountain Church. You can find out more at thebridgedfw.com.
Well, we have been in the middle of our series that we are calling That's in the Bible, where we've been tackling some tough subjects, maybe for some people, some very controversial subjects. If you remember the first week of the series, we talked about healing. We talked about God's will for healing. We talked about how Jesus has already paid for our healing. And we saw testimonies. Does everybody remember that? We saw somebody's foot got healed, if I remember correctly. Somebody was having some emotional turmoil and some issues with oppression, and the Lord just got rid of that night. And I know that there were more that I'm not remembering in the moment, but in case you missed that week, I encourage you, go back and listen. Go back and watch. If you're in need of healing, go back. And the last time, we talked about what happens whenever the plan that we have, that we've made, that we've even sought God and asked God for, and He gave it to us, what happens whenever we get to that crossroads where His plan begins to look different than what we thought, right? What do we do? Do we keep the faith, right? Do we do like the woman with the issue of blood who her plan was just to come and get a touch of Jesus just to get healed, but Jesus said, no, no, I got something better. Who touched me? And whenever she said it was me, she got whole. You guys remember that? Right? And Jairus, the same thing, right? His plan was to come and grab Jesus and take him home right then. But you see, his faith was built in the midst of seeing somebody else receive their healing so that not only could his daughter receive healing, but if you remember, by this time, she had died. And if you remember, the cool thing that we saw was that Jairus' daughter was 12 years old and she had an issue with her blood stopping right after Jesus had healed the woman with the issue of blood who had an issue with her blood flowing for 12 years. So you see, sometimes it's all a setup. God is wanting your faith to get increased so that you can see your miracle manifest. Amen? So since we just celebrated Easter and Resurrection Day, Empty Tomb Day, He is Risen Day, whatever it is that you choose to call it, I wanted to start tonight by summarizing John 14, 15, and 16. These three chapters are right after the Last Supper, after Jesus and the disciples have kind of had their last hurrah, if you will. And Jesus says, let's go. And they go out to the Mount of Olives. Jesus ends up praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. Most of you will remember that. And these chapters that we're going to be looking at, these verses that we're going to be looking at, are the final 12 or so hours of Jesus' life. The final 12 or so hours before Jesus is crucified, dies, and does everything that he did. So if you'll turn with me quickly to John 14:31, we're going to read a couple scriptures and pray, and then we're going to have some fun. Amen? John 14:31 says, this is Jesus speaking, but I will do what the Father requires of me so that the world will know that I love the Father. Come, let's be going. And that come, let's be going is basically Jesus saying, come on, guys, let's get this show on the road. I've been doing this for 3.5 years. Everything that I've been teaching you, everything that I came for is culminating tonight. Let's do this. Right? I believe that was almost like Jesus telling the devil, just gritting his teeth and showing him, I got this. Well, let's go do this, right? So in John 14:16, this is mainly what we're going to be focusing on tonight. John 14 and verse 16, this is Jesus again saying, he says, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. So the title of tonight's message is going to be the Holy Who? The Holy Who? Would you pray with me? Jesus, we love you tonight. God, we are so honored, Lord, that God, you said that we could be your very temple, God, where your presence would reside, Father. So, Father, we thank you, God, that although we ask for your Holy Spirit to come, although we ask for your Spirit to fall, God, we know the truth is, God, that your Spirit is already inside of every single believer in this room and every single believer watching around the world, God. So, rather, our heart's cry is to let that Spirit to be unleashed, God, out of our hearts tonight. Father, I pray that as we dive into your word tonight, God, that you would illuminate your truth. God, make it so evident. God, make it so clear. God, make it so simple, Father. God, that no matter where we are on our journey with you, God, that it would come alive in our hearts. God, it would make sense. God, it would connect. So, Father, I pray tonight, God, that you would think through my mind and speak through my lips. Everything that you want to say tonight, God, you are perfect. God, you love us so perfect, God, in every gift that you give us. God, every gift that you offered us in this life as believers, God, is a perfect gift. God, and there is benefit, God, and there is things that we can use in it in our lives, God. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen and amen. So the holy who? John 14 and 16, let's go back there. And I'm going to emphasize some words as we're reading. John 14 and chapter and 14 and 16. And I will pray the Father. Notice Jesus doesn't say, I'm going to pray to the Father. Right? Seems kind of weird. That's because the Greek here is actually translated, I will ask the Father. Right? I will inquire of the Father. I will ask him. And how many of you know if Jesus asked the Lord to do something, he's probably going to do it, right? So it goes on to say in verse 17, and he will give you another helper. So Jesus is telling us, hey guys, I'm going to ask God and he's going to give me what I'm asking. What is he asking? Let's see. He says, I will give you another helper that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Notice how I emphasized him and he. Those are personal pronouns, Rabia. Is that correct? I graduated from college. You're welcome. It was money well spent. I know what a personal pronoun is. Some of you with kids are like, my five-year-old knows what that is. But the reason I want to emphasize that is because Jesus is intentionally, time and again, I believe it's 7 or 8 times in that scripture, saying he, saying him. You will know him. The world does not know him, but you will know him because he, right? He's using this time and again to make sure that we get it. And what is Jesus trying to say? The Holy Spirit is not an it. The Holy Spirit is not a thing. It is not this spooky, mystical thing that is floating around in the air that maybe every once in a while, if we pray just right or, you know, sing just right, we'll magically unlock this code and all of a sudden we'll have this feeling. But rather, the Holy Spirit is a person. The Holy Spirit is a him, right? And just like you can have a personal relationship with Jesus, just like you can have a personal relationship with God, Jesus is trying to get us to understand that the Holy Spirit is a person that we can have a personal relationship with, right? And just like I have a personal relationship with my wife, I can text her, I can call her, I can cash in on any of the benefits that I have with her being my wife. For instance, cooking me food today for lunch, which, baby, you did awesome, wherever she is. And just like that, Jesus is saying that you can call on the Holy Spirit, you can text the Holy Spirit, right? You can tweet at him, and he will respond because you have a personal relationship with him. John 14, 25 says it like this. These things I have spoken to you while being present with you, but the helper, now what you remember that word, the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I have said to you. I want to keep going. I want to get through a couple of scriptures here. John 15, 26 says, but when the helper comes, notice again, the helper, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. So if you remember in one of those songs, it was saying, Holy Spirit, rain down, pour down, testify, right, of the Son. That's the Holy Spirit's job, and we'll see that more in just a moment. In John 16, 17, we got two more verses. John 16, 17, Jesus says this, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. Basically, Jesus is saying, hey guys, this is about to get crazy for a minute, okay? I'm about to make some pretty outlandish statements, but I'm telling you the truth. Even though it might seem crazy, this is the truth. That's basically what Jesus is saying. He's saying, it is to your advantage that I go away. How many of you know that was probably a shock for the disciples to hear, right? I just put myself sometimes in their shoes, and I think about the fact that, you know, these guys weren't 35, 40-year-old, 50, 60, 70-year-old seasoned believers, okay? These weren't pastors. These weren't people that had been, you know, studied up in religious law and the scriptures their whole lives. Most of these guys were 16 to 18 to 20 years old. They were younger than most everybody in this room and most everybody watching online. So I just imagine what I would have been like at 16 if my dad was like, hey, Donnie, I know this is going to be weird, so I hope you're sitting down, but I promise you it's true. It's better for you if I die and go away because, you know, there's going to be something good come of it. I would have been like, what? What are you talking about, Dad? And I imagine I would have been like Peter. And I would have said, what, Lord? Who's going to kill you? I'll die for you. I'll kill them, right? So I imagine myself in that. But Jesus goes on to say, if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And so stop there because we're going to read 8 through 11 in just a minute. But we got one more verse, and then we're going to really start having some fun. Everybody say, have some fun. Because church should be fun, right? We're talking about the best news that's ever been, the greatest man that's ever lived, right? The greatest truth that's ever been. We should be able to have fun. So it says in John chapter 16 and verse 12, Jesus says, there's so much more I want to tell you. Imagine this. Jesus is saying, there is so much that I want to tell you, but you can't bear it right now. You're not ready for it, right? You're not going to be able to receive it. Your sponge is filled right now. It cannot take any more. He goes on to say in verse 13, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. Everybody say all truth. He will guide you into all truth, and he will not speak on his own, but he will tell you what he has heard. So notice that for a second. He, a person, the Holy Spirit, will not speak on his own, but he will tell you what he's heard. So what does that tell you? Again, the Holy Spirit is a person who can hear and who can speak. Okay? He has a two-way communication ability to communicate to heaven and then down to us and then from us back up to heaven. Okay, the Holy Spirit is a person and he speaks. So this should end any debate for some of you that maybe have been taught different things, maybe that have come from different denominational, different religious backgrounds that maybe they've taught that the Holy Spirit's done, right? I've heard this and I tweeted out earlier, I asked people, I said, hey, what have you heard about the Holy Spirit? What have you heard people say about the Holy Spirit? And one person said that they believe that whenever Jesus died, that the Holy Spirit kind of closed the book and he closed up shop because after Jesus was done, there was no need for the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit's job, like we just saw, was to what? Lead us to Jesus, to testify of the Son. So once Jesus is gone, we don't need the Holy Spirit anymore, right? How many of you know that even just saying it seems kind of off, seems kind of wacky, right? But Jesus himself said, the Holy Spirit will speak, he'll hear, and he'll tell you what he's heard. So that should put any of those questions to rest. But Jesus says, hey guys, I got some really good stuff I got to share with you, but you're not going to be able to take it yet. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to send somebody after me, another one, right? This is not a DJ Khaled reference. He says, I'm going to send another one after me that is going to be a helper like me, that is going to speak on my behalf, on God's behalf, and give you all truth. He's going to unlock all wisdom to you. How many of you are thankful that the Holy Spirit will help you understand the scripture, right? If you ever just even right now, if we just said, just open the Bible, point to one, and read it, how many of you know the chances are at first glance, you may not fully grasp the entirety and the totality of what that scripture is saying, right? But that's the Holy Spirit's job, to lead you into all truth, to open up the scriptures like you never thought possible. Notice Jesus kept using over and over that word helper. Helper. Jesus uses it 5 times. We just read it 4 times. And all 5 times, it's translated in the Greek, parakletos. Everybody say parakletos. You're welcome. I just taught you Greek. So now in your next job interview, you can say that you're bilingual, right? Or some of you that are like super saved, say you're trilingual, right? You got English, the Holy Spirit, and right now you know at least one word in Greek, right? By the way, don't do that. Don't put that you're bilingual and that whenever they ask you, oh, so English and Spanish, don't say no, English and the Holy Spirit. Don't do that. You probably will not get a job. I'm just saying. People out there don't really, yeah. Anyways, but I'm going to break the word down for you, okay? Because this is important to understand. Jesus says the helper, the parakletos, means this. Para, that first part, means alongside. Para, alongside. Kletos means to come. So what does that mean? The helper, the parakletos, is somebody that comes alongside, right? Jesus came. He taught, he shared, he revealed, he did his work, and then he said, I'm sending somebody after me that will come alongside what I have done and will come alongside you and lead you and guide you into all truth. Right? The Bible says he'll never leave us or forsake us. This is what he's talking about, because he sent the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is with every single one of you in this room if you've received Jesus and you believe in Jesus. And maybe some of you are going, yeah, but Pastor Donnie, I don't pray in tongues yet. You know, I haven't, you know, had this thing happen to me yet. I've been prayed for and they touched me and I didn't fall over. So, you know, I don't think I've really got it yet. I just want to settle the record right now. Whenever you receive Jesus, he did not give you a partial Jesus. He did not give you a portion of himself. He did not give you 66.67 repeating amount of the Godhead Trinity. He did not give you two of three, and maybe one day whenever you pray just right, or whenever you read enough scripture, or whenever you memorize enough scripture, or raise your hands just right, like you're an antenna in service trying to, like, you know, pick up on the frequency of the Holy Spirit, and then it's like, oh, I got it, don't move. That's not what this is. It's not about getting more of God. It's not about getting more of the Spirit, right? It's about letting the Spirit get more of you. It's not about trying to get more of the Spirit in. Jesus did not give you a junior varsity Holy Spirit whenever you received him. What does the Bible say, right? Because it doesn't matter what Pastor Donnie thinks. It matters what the Word says, right? We put the Word first. What does the Bible say? It says that the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead is what? Now at work in you. It didn't say 50% of the Spirit. It did not say his little brother that kind of has a club foot. It says the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. Here's some more Greek for you. Some of you might, whenever you heard para, maybe you've heard a couple other words in the Bible even, right? The word parable, right? Jesus often taught in parables, the Bible says. What does that mean? Para, again, means alongside, and bole means to throw alongside. Jesus would teach a spiritual truth, a godly truth about himself or about the kingdom, and he would throw alongside a story, imagery, an illustration so that the people could understand it, right? He would teach a truth and throw alongside a story, a parable, so that people would understand it. Maybe some of you have heard parachute, right? How many of you know you don't ever want to hear, as you're falling, your parachute is not working, right? That's whenever you really need the Holy Spirit. Am I right? You'll start praying in tongues quick if that ever happens. But para, again, means alongside. And chute means to slow down. So a parachute is something that you bring alongside you to slow you down as you're falling, right? Just call me Rick Renner. So this word parakletos means helper. Other translations say advocate, encourager, and comforter. And I want you to remember that. Just put that in your pocket. Say, I'm putting it in my pocket. So number one in your notes. Number one in your notes. And we're about to get going downhill quick. Number one in your notes. The Holy Spirit is my helper. The Holy Spirit is my helper. Jesus promised that the Holy Spirit would speak. Not on his own behalf, but on his behalf, on God's behalf, and on Jesus' behalf. How many of you know the Holy Spirit will help you know what to say? Right? Have you ever been praying for somebody? Somebody said, hey, man, I need some prayer. And you started praying for him. Maybe you got on the phone, maybe it was in person, and you started praying for him, and all of a sudden God brought a scripture up to you. You know, healing is the children's bread. God, I thank you that, you know, God, you give out good gifts. And God, if we ask for bread, you'll give it, God. And your bread is healing, God, your word says. And then all of a sudden you say amen. And that person goes, man, this is amazing. I was just reading that scripture this morning. I was just listening to a podcast this morning. And I heard that scripture. Man, this is amazing. Hello. That wasn't your good idea, right? Out of the however many thousand verses, does anybody know how many verses are in the Bible? Any Bible scholars in here? Okay, it's a lot. Somebody find that out and let me know. There's a lot of scripture, so you did not just have a coincidence, right? It was not the luck of the draw that you just so happened to pull out the scripture. That was the Holy Spirit helping you to help somebody else, right? Some of you probably need the Holy Spirit more active in your life to help you on what not to say, right? How many of you ever done this? I really shouldn't say this. I really shouldn't tell you. You know what? I don't know if I should say this or not. Okay, I'll tell you anyways. Right? And then you tell them, and what's the first thing that comes up in your heart after that? Oh, man, I shouldn't have said that. Right? If you're not laughing, it's because you're trying to seem like you're not guilty. But it just makes you more guilty, by the way. But what is that? That's the Holy Spirit helping you to know what to say and what not to say. That's why Jesus said he is a helper. Because what does the Bible say? That a word in due season is what? Life. It's healing, right? God always wants us to have words in due season. He also wants, again, to help us know what not to say, right? And I guess I needed that, which is why I'm going over it again. Matter of fact, I think I had this exact thing happen with somebody in the last week where I said, you know, I probably shouldn't say this. And then I said it, and then I said, I shouldn't have said that. So anyways, the Holy Spirit is to help to keep your foot out of your mouth, right? I think that's what Jesus meant when he translated it. The Holy Spirit is a helper. Keep your foot out of your mouth. But John 16 and verse 8, Jesus says, and when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. And I really want to camp here for a minute because we have to understand this. I believe that this is the basis for who the Holy Spirit is in your life, what he wants to do in and through your life, and how he wants to use you to testify of Jesus to the world. Amen? So I'm going to read it again. And when he has come, the Holy Spirit, he will convict the world of sin, convict the world of righteousness, and convict the world of judgment. Right? And I love how Jesus breaks it down. He always breaks it down, right? He didn't just leave it there, but he goes on to say in verse 9, he will convict the world of sin because they do not believe in me. So the Holy Spirit will convict people that do not believe in him of their sin. Why? So that they'll feel like terrible people and, you know, want to get cleaned up. God doesn't make people feel terrible, right? What does the Bible say? What does it say? The condemnation of God leads men to repentance? No. The kindness of God, right? The lovingness of God brings men to repentance. So what Jesus is saying here is that, hey, if the world doesn't understand that they're a sinner, if they don't understand that whenever they do something wrong, that's called sin, and if they're not convicted and realize that was wrong, I shouldn't have done that, they're never going to realize that they need a Savior. And if they don't realize that they need a Savior, how are they going to get saved? That's why the Holy Spirit will convict people of their sin. Not because he's this mean guy that just wants to rub people's nose in the dirt and say, ah, you messed up, right? Like you do with puppies, to where they don't do it again. Which I may or may not have done that once or twice with our puppy. But I know you're not judging me, right? You're not condemning me. But Jesus is saying if they don't realize they're a sinner and they don't realize that sin is wrong, then they're not going to realize that they need a Savior, right? The next thing he says, matter of fact, let's do this. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 12:3. Matter of fact, I want every single one of you to turn there. If you have a Bible or if you have one on your phone, I know it's going to be behind us, but this is important that you guys get this in your eyes. This is vitally important. The Holy Spirit plays a vital part in getting born again. The Holy Spirit is not a dormant person in the Godhead, in the recreation of the human spirit, of somebody getting born again. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 3 says, no one can say Jesus is Lord except how? Except by the Holy Spirit. So again, if you have received Jesus and you have said, yes, Jesus, you're my Lord, you're my Savior, you did that by the Holy Spirit. So in case you're in here tonight and you've wondered, I don't know if I have the Holy Spirit, 1 Corinthians 12:3, Paul is saying, if you have received Jesus, you have the Holy Spirit. So you might say, yeah, but Pastor Donnie, I don't pray in tongues. Well, by then tonight, you might. I'm going to believe God with you, right? I don't know that I feel the Holy Spirit, Pastor Donnie. By the end of tonight, I believe that some things are going to change. Amen? Because the Holy Spirit, write this down. The Holy Spirit is a compass that always points us to Jesus. The Holy Spirit is a compass that always points us to Jesus. Now, verse 10. If we can put that back up. He will convict us of righteousness because, Jesus says, I go to my Father and you see me no more. So what does that mean to convict us of righteousness? What does that mean? Well, he says, because you won't see me anymore, right? So people can't physically see Jesus anymore. Well, where is he? I think it's important to know if Jesus is saying, hey, the Holy Spirit will convict people of righteousness because they won't be able to see me anymore. Well, we probably need to find out where is Jesus right now then, right? How many of you know the Bible says he's where? Seated at the right hand of the Father, right? And what does the right hand represent? Represents the place of honor, the place of favor, right? The place of righteousness. That's what righteousness means. It means that we're able to be seated in that place of honor next to God, right? Jesus was declared righteous by God. And what's amazing about it is this. Even whenever you hear that word convict, it has the same root word as the word convince. So to say, well, I have a conviction and, you know, I'm not going to throw trash out the window whenever I'm driving down the road because I just have this conviction that littering is wrong, right? What are you? You're convinced that littering is wrong. And so you are led to an action based on being convinced or being convicted, right? So what is Jesus saying there? That the Holy Spirit will convict us of righteousness. It's saying he will remind us, he will convince us that if you've received Jesus, he is your Savior. Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father. And guess where we're seated, the Bible says? Right next to him. So what is he convincing us of? What is he convicting us of? Not the fact that on our own we don't have righteousness, but through him we do. So notice what Jesus is saying here. He's saying, hey, the first step of the Holy Spirit is to show people what sin is and where they've gotten outside the bounds of what God says is the way to live, right? So then once they've done that, they realize they need a Savior. And then once they've done that and they've received him, now they need to remember that it's not about how good they are, but how good Jesus is. And the fact that Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father and he's making intercession for us. So when we need anything, we can ask God. And because he's given us his righteousness, we can believe that we will receive that thing, right? He's convincing us of the righteousness that we have in God. Everybody say amen. So now in verse 11, the last part. He will convict us of judgment because the ruler of this world is judged. He will convict us of judgment because the ruler of this world is judged. Again, this is not God saying, this is not Jesus saying, the Holy Spirit is to convict you of judgment. To realize that you're just a bad sinner and, you know, God is mad at you. It's not what he's saying. You have to understand this. Turn to John 12, 31. This will help us understand. Because you have to remember, at this point, Jesus is still alive. He has not yet gone to the cross. He has not yet gone to hell. He has not yet taken the keys to death, hell, and the grave from Satan. So you have to understand that at this point, Satan was still the ruler of this world. He was still in authority, right? Matter of fact, let's back all the way up to Genesis, right? Adam gave his authority away to the enemy, right? The Bible says this. Paul talks about this, right? By one man, all have sinned, right? We entered into sin. Adam gave away his authority, his dominion to the enemy, right? And so Jesus is saying the Holy Spirit will convict you of judgment because the ruler of this world is judged. So when Jesus says this, Satan was still ruling the earth. Okay? Everybody with me? All right. So now John 12, 31. It says, the time for judging this world has come when Satan, the ruler of this world, will be cast out. So Jesus is saying, I will convince the world that they're in need of a Savior. They get saved. I will convince them and remind them that they have my righteousness now, right? Because our righteousness was of filthy rags, but now we have Jesus' righteousness. And now once we have that down, God will remind us. The Holy Spirit will convince us that the enemy is done. You might say, yeah, but Pastor Donnie, bad things still happen. I understand that. But Jesus is saying the Holy Spirit, if you will tap into him and you will use the Holy Spirit to unlock scriptures to you, you will now see that the enemy has no power over your life. Right? The old man has what? Gone. He's dead. He has died. Just like whenever you get baptized, what do they say? You've been buried with him in what? His death. And then what? Raised to life with the same life that Jesus had. You're a new creation. And that new creation, that new man, has no, the enemy has no power over that newly created man. That's what Jesus is saying here. We have to understand this. Now, Colossians 2:15. How many of you know, if we're going to understand this, if we're going to learn this, if we're going to build on this, we got to know the scriptural foundation for it. Amen? Because again, I don't want to just give you Pastor Donnie's opinion. I don't just want to parrot, right, somebody else's good thoughts about the Bible, but we got to actually see what it says. Because we just read that Jesus said, the ruler of this world is about to be judged. So Colossians 2:15, it says, in this way, he, being Jesus, disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities, which is Satan and his demons, and he shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross. So raise your hand if you believe that Jesus hung on the cross. How many of you believe that he got down off the cross, right? Well, that means, because of that, he's had victory over the enemy. So every single person in here, because of Jesus, through his victory, now you have victory over the rulers of the world, over demons, right? So demonic oppression in your mind, torment, you can't sleep, that has no power over you because the enemy no longer is the ruler of this world. You have authority. You can speak. Your words must force the enemy out of your situation. The enemy has no choice on the matter. You do. You have the choice to speak those words, to take authority, to take the dominion that Jesus gave us back. Number two in your notes. The Holy Spirit is my friend, and he's not a weirdo. The Holy Spirit is my friend, and he's not a weirdo. Let me say this, people. The Holy Spirit is not weird. People are weird. Okay? And some of you might be going, some of you might have came here tonight, or maybe some of you watching online tonight, maybe you grew up in a church, maybe you experienced some things that you would say, man, that was weird, that was hurtful, I got burned by church or by the Holy Spirit or by this whole thing. Let me just tell you, you did not get burned by the Holy Spirit. You did not get burned by God. You got burned by a person, okay? People are weird without the Holy Spirit, right? Just think about somebody that you know at work or a family member that doesn't know God, that does not have the Holy Spirit. We can probably all think of at least one weird person, right? So you don't, okay, his sister. This is recorded, by the way. I wouldn't tell her to listen. But is everybody with me? People don't need the Holy Spirit to be weird, okay? Everything that we've seen from Jesus has lined out what the Holy Spirit's job is, and I haven't seen one thing in there that has been weird yet. Have you? So, people give the Holy Spirit a bad rap. And what does the enemy do? Then he takes that, and he goes, you know what? That's some weird stuff. That's not God. That doesn't seem like God. That actually seems demonic. And I have somebody, like I said, I tweeted earlier, wanting to get people to give stories and whatnot. And somebody said, you know, I know this family member that says, you know, the Holy Spirit, you know, you got to be careful because, you know, once you start getting over into the Spirit, it can get kind of wonky and you can end up picking up a demon. And I'm like, what? Like, again, are you like an antenna? Like, did you hold your arms wrong and you got a demon instead of the Holy Spirit? No. Satan has caused some Christians, a lot of Christians, and many non-Christians to be afraid of the Holy Spirit, right? Some of you, maybe even whenever you've invited friends to the bridge or invited friends to church, maybe they've said, hey, I don't know, you guys do that Holy Spirit thing, right? To which I would say, you mean God? We do the God thing? Yeah, we do that God thing, right? The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, equal parts, right? We don't leave 33.333% of the Godhead out just because some people think it's weird, right? Again, people may be weird. People may use the Holy Spirit and the under the moniker of the Holy Spirit, and they might be weird, but the Holy Spirit is not weird. Everybody with me? Some of you, we probably even lost some people. Whoever's counting, just add a few people, because I'm sure we probably had some people hit the exits as soon as they heard that we were talking about the Holy Spirit. But watch this. When the first church received the Holy Spirit, right? How many of you would believe the first church didn't have any problems with religion, right? They didn't have any problems with things being ingrained in them, right? It was all fresh. It was all new. Jesus taught it. They believed it. They received it. And what happened? They had power from the Holy Spirit. What does the Bible say? You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And it's talking specifically about power to witness, power to evangelize, power to tell people about Jesus, right? That's specifically what that verse means. So you have to understand, are all of us called to be evangelists? No. Are all of us called to be preachers or pastors? No. But every single one of you has been given the Holy Spirit with power to let people know about Jesus so that they would see him at work in your life and that they would come to want to know him. That's what happened with the first church, and they had 3,000 people get saved on the very first day that the church doors were open. Think about that for a minute. They immediately received the Spirit, and what happened? 3,000 people got saved. They healed the sick. They raised the dead, right? Demons got cast out. The Bible says that they were them that turned the world, what? Upside down. How many of you know, I want to see the world turned upside down? Because the kingdom is an upside down kingdom, right? What did Jesus say? If you want to be great in the kingdom, you got to be like the least. We want to be the master of all, you got to be the servant of all. You want to be first? Hit the back of the line, buddy. You got to be last. The kingdom is upside down. And whenever we are active and we're utilizing the Holy Spirit and who he is in our life, we will turn the world upside down, not to be weird, but to turn upside down for Jesus. So that people see the way that life can be. They can experience life and life abundant. Write this down. The Holy Spirit is like a generator that energizes every part of your life as a believer. The Holy Spirit is like a generator that energizes every part of your life as a believer. So you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, right? Paul talks about the fact that we should have love in the Spirit when the Holy Spirit comes upon us, right? We should have a different level of love, right? And Corinthians talks about all the things that love is, right? Then there's the fruit of the Spirit, right? Things that should be at work in our life. And then there's the gifts of the Spirit. So you see, there's a lot of different parts of the Holy Spirit that he brings into our life as a believer, right? And this is why at one point Paul even says, like, hey, you can prophesy, you can pray in tongues for 23 hours a day. Like, you know, you can cast out demons and you can preach the most eloquent sermon, but guess what? If you're not loving people, it doesn't matter. Sometimes it's easy to want to lean on one particular outflow of the Spirit and leave behind all the ones that will actually show the world that you're a Jesus follower. What did Jesus say? Hey, by the way that you pray in tongues, people will know that you're my disciples. No. Hey, by the way that you cast out demons, people will know that you're my disciples. Didn't say that. Hey, by how many hours you read the Bible a day, that's going to show. No, wasn't that either. What did he say? By the way that you love one another. And Paul said, you can't love people the way that God wants you to love people without the Holy Spirit. Without the Holy Spirit. You want your love walk to increase? Press into the Holy Spirit. You want to see your family situation turn around because you start showering them with love, even though right now you may think they're unlovable? Press into the Holy Spirit. Because by the way, that's the only way that Jesus was able to receive you into his kingdom, was because of how much he loved you when he hung up there on the cross. What did the Bible say, right? What did the Bible say? For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. What was that joy? Your face. The joy set before Jesus was your face coming into the kingdom. It was your face. So the Holy Spirit will not make you weird, but he will make you relevant. I believe there's even a magazine called Relevant, where they're looking at all things new, right? The world's looking for relevant clothes, right? Skinny jeans, music, hairstyles, right? There's nothing wrong with any of that stuff. But the most relevant thing that you could possibly do in this life is to have the Holy Spirit active and flowing and working through your life. What do I mean? What do I mean? Remember earlier the story of talking about somebody that you were praying with and you read that scripture and it came up in your heart and they were like, wow, this is so amazing. That's the Holy Spirit making you relevant. That'll open someone up to believe in Jesus and to receive what God has for them in their life. It will change their life. Number three in your notes. We're closing down here. Number three in your notes. He's my God. He is my God. The Holy Spirit is God. He is your God. Some of you already, I can tell on your faces, you're wanting to get defensive. But let me ask you, if I were to say this, if I were to say the Father is my God, would you have a problem with that? No. If I were to say Jesus is my God, would you have a problem with that? Of course not. Then why do sometimes Christians have a problem whenever you say the Holy Spirit is my God? The Holy Spirit is not the redheaded stepchild of the Trinity. Okay? He is not like the B team of the Trinity. He's not the substitute that you call in the fourth quarter whenever you're blowing the other team out, right? And you're like, hey, get old Johnny at the end of the bench who doesn't even have a helmet. Send him in. That's not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Trinity are all three equally God, equally powerful, equally necessary in your life. Watch this. In case you need a proof, I'll show you from the scripture. Acts 5:3 says, then Peter said, Ananias, why have you let Satan fill your heart? Watch this. You lied to the Holy Spirit. Remember that. And you kept some of the money for yourself. The property was yours to sell or not sell as you wished. And after selling it, the money was also yours to give away. How could you do a thing like this? You weren't lying to us, but to God. You lied to the Holy Spirit. You lied to God. Paul is saying the Holy Spirit is God. They're one and the same. I was reading some material earlier today by Brother Copeland. It was an amazing, 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 amazing study sheet, I guess. It was like 5 pages of who the Holy Spirit is and what he has available, what he's made available in your life. And I encourage all of you to go online and get that. You can go to kcm.org. Matter of fact, if you want to email us, especially for those of you watching online, if you want to email us at info@thebridgedfw.com, we will send that to you. It's line by line, precept upon precept. And I enjoyed reading it because I love learning. I love learning, and it's crazy because when I was in college, I remember walking across the stage, and as I got my diploma, I remember thinking, man, this is the last time I'm ever going to have to be in one of these places and learn, right? But now I'm like, man, I love to learn. I love to read commentaries. And I heard about this pastor that was reading this commentary, and I'm going to read this to you, and I'm going to quickly get through this. And I want everybody just to close their eyes. Everybody just to close their eyes. And just think about all these different things that the Holy Spirit does and is. It says, the Holy Spirit intercedes through us on earth. The Holy Spirit calls and qualifies ministers for their work. It is the Holy Spirit who makes them overseers of the flock. The Holy Spirit hears, speaks, teaches, and guides into all truth. These are all scripturally based. It says he glorifies Christ, receives from Christ, shows us Christ, and brings all of Christ's words to our remembrance. It is better for us that Jesus left so that he could come. He shows us things to come, knows the deep things of God, searches all things, and reveals all things. Where he is, there is freedom. The writers of the Bible spoke as they were moved by him. We are warned not to grieve him or quench him. Then a sin against him is unpardonable because sin against him is against the only one who can reveal the Son to us. Unless a man is born of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. We are convicted by him, born again by him, led by him, filled with him, and sealed by him. Praise God. I just listed about 30 reasons to be excited about the Holy Spirit in your life. And recently, I was speaking, you can open your eyes. Recently, I was speaking at a partner church of KCM and EMIC in Alabama. No, I do not say Roll Tide. It's not going to happen. Matter of fact, the team there is the team that we shall not speak of. the team without a name. That's how I refer to them. But recently I was speaking at a church there, and at the beginning of service, as I was preparing and praying over the service, the Lord just kind of honed in my vision on this one volunteer. It was this young kid, really young kid in early high school, and he was on the greeter team, right? As people would come in, he'd be at the doors greeting people, all this kind of stuff. And the Lord just really started talking to me about this guy. And I thought, man, Lord, that's cool. Thanks for showing me that. You know, like, man, tell me if I need to do something about that or if I'm just supposed to pray about it. And so in the middle of service, the Lord said, give him the word now. And I thought, Lord, this is weird. Like, these guys brought me here, like, to speak this message. And, you know, like, I don't even know if the kid's, you know, like, where he is. Like, maybe he's volunteering, doing something. I don't know. And he said, do it now. And so I asked them, the pastors that were sitting on the front row, I said, hey, where is such and such? Kayvon, his name was. I said, hey, where's Kayvon? And Kayvon was actually volunteering in the children's ministry. And so they went and grabbed him and brought him in. And I called him up on the platform. And I shared with him what the Lord had shown me. And I shared with him the words that the Lord had given me, right? That the Holy Spirit had given me from God, right? Because it says that we read earlier, the Holy Spirit doesn't speak on his own account, but he speaks what he hears, right? And then he shared it with me. And so, man, as I did, you would not believe the impact it had on this young man. And if I were to tell any one of you these same words, like, yeah, they would be, you know, nice words. They'd feel good, but it was exactly what he needed to hear. And so I want to show that picture. And so that's Kayvon right there. And in case you can't tell, everybody else is standing up applauding. Kayvon is 16 years old. He has a twin brother. Leave that up. And Kayvon and Trayvon both work full-time in a job. Then they serve every single day when the church is open. And their mom is unable to work, so they're providing for their mom. They're paying the rent. They're paying the bills. They're paying for food, all these kind of things. I didn't know about all this at the time. But whenever the Lord gave me this word, and the part that I remember was that God has a plan for you. He's not done with you. Like, what it's been is not going to be how it's always going to be, something like that. And you see what happened. It immediately had an impact on his life. It immediately spoke, and it wasn't Donnie speaking. It was God speaking to him. So I want to ask you a question. Do you think in that moment, Kayvon thought the Holy Spirit was weird? Do you think that he's going to walk away from that service going, man, this whole Holy Spirit thing is weird? No, because the Holy Spirit does not make you weird. It makes you relevant. The most relevant thing in the world for Kayvon that day was the word that God had for him that he delivered through the Holy Spirit and through somebody that was willing to say, yes, Lord, I hear you. I'll do that. And God wants to use every single one of you just the same way. You don't have to be on a platform with a microphone. You can be walking through Walmart. You can be pushing your basket, look down this way, looking for the toilet paper aisle and go, nope, that's not the toilet paper aisle. Lord, that person down at the end of the aisle, you're speaking to me about them. Lord, what would you have me do? And instead of going and getting your toilet paper, which, by the way, Charmin's the best. Just kidding. Ripples. What is it? Anyways, doesn't matter. You guys don't care what toilet paper we use. I don't even know why I'm going there. But you end up going back down that aisle and talking to that lady and saying, hey, I don't know if you're going through anything right now, but I just wanted to tell you, God said he loves you. God said he's never left you or forsaked you. He said he's seen every tear. He said he knows everything that you're going through, and he's right there with you. Will you turn to him? And then, boom, she hits the ground. She's crying. And what is she in that moment? She's open to receive Jesus. That's relevant, not weird, right? Do you think Kayvon in that moment thought that the Holy Spirit helped me? Absolutely he did. I didn't know him. I didn't know half the things that I was sharing with him were even right on point until afterwards. I trusted the Holy Spirit, but he helped me because he's our helper. The Holy Spirit is your helper. Do you think in that moment Kayvon was like, well, the Holy Spirit isn't really God. You know, he's part of him, but he's not actually God. No, at that moment, all that Kayvon knew was that Jesus loved him and that God was for him and God was willing to stop everything in a service to speak directly to him because he loved him that much. That's the Holy Spirit's job, ladies and gentlemen, to testify about Jesus. That's it. That's it. So that was Kayvon's experience with the Holy Spirit. I want to ask you, what's your experience? What's your experience? Is it possible that maybe how you were raised and how you were taught, maybe even how you came in here tonight thinking about the Holy Spirit, is it possible that Satan has maybe whispered in your ear? Maybe he's distorted the reality of who the Holy Spirit is and what he wants to do in your life. Is it possible that he's whispered stuff like, man, that stuff's weird. It's all fake anyways. It's just a show. That's not for everybody. That's not for today. Man, the Holy Spirit isn't for you. You know, that's for special people. You don't need that, right? Is it possible that maybe some of you in here tonight, or maybe some of you watching online, that maybe the enemy knows what would happen if you received the Holy Spirit, if you understood the power of the Holy Spirit, and you tapped into that power on a daily basis with a personal relationship with him? Is it possible that the enemy is trying to keep you from experiencing that? I want to quickly finish like this. I want to look at what Paul said about the Holy Spirit, specifically in the area of praying with tongues, because in just a moment, we're going to have an opportunity. If you have never received the Holy Spirit, if you do not know if he's active in your life, if you have never prayed in another tongue, prayed in your prayer language, we're going to have an opportunity for you to do that. Nobody's going to force you. Nobody's going to push you to the side with one of our prayer ministers. It's got to be your choice. But look at what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 14:14. Paul says, for if I pray in a tongue, if. So Paul's saying there's an option. I could pray in tongues or I could not. It's a choice that I have to make, right? It's not something that all of a sudden in the middle of service, you just magically start flipping your tongue around because God like pushes you to do it. That's not what happens. It's a choice. That's what Paul is saying here. He says, if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is the conclusion then? He says, I will pray with the Spirit. Praying in tongues, receiving the Holy Spirit, it is an act of your choice. It is an act of your will. You have to want it. You have to choose it. Paul's saying, I have a choice. And if Jesus said that he wants to send the Holy Spirit, and he explained to me the benefits of the Holy Spirit, then why would I ever want to only have part of what God has offered? I choose. That's what Paul is saying. I will. So remember earlier whenever I said about the Parakletos thing? You guys remember that? That it means helper or comforter, right? Some translations say. Many of you probably have a comforter around your house. I do. I have one. Matter of fact, we have a pretty yellow one that sits on the end of our bed at our house. We have a comforter that sits on the end of our bed. And what's interesting is whenever it's time to go to bed, the comforter gets knocked down onto the ground, and we have a different blanket that we actually use to wrap up at night, right? Some of the married guys are laughing because they're like, yeah, I know, we got 24 pillows, and there's no way I could ever use all these pillows, right? But every single one of us have something called a comforter in our house. And no, I'm not talking about ice cream. Some of you try and have ice cream be a comforter, but then the next morning you realize that it's anything but a comforter. But here's what's interesting. The comforter that we have on the edge of our bed, it's just for looks. It's not to be used. And I wonder how many Christians have a comforter at their disposal that's just for looks, that they're not using, that they're not taking advantage of, that they don't understand what they have full access to, what they have full availability to. And so the comforter just sits there in their life, not being used, kicked off to the side, whenever God is wanting to use the Holy Spirit in their life. So this is what I want to do tonight. I want to have our prayer team, if you can meet along the sides of this room. We're not going to take a long time on this. But I believe that a lot of you coming in here tonight, maybe you've heard something like this 1,000 times, but maybe you've never fully pressed in. Maybe you've never fully said, you know what? I want the Holy Spirit and all it has to offer, all he has to offer. I want to accept and receive everything that Jesus has offered in the Holy Spirit. Our prayer teams are going to be along both sides of this room. They're going to be ready to pray with you. They are people that we trust. They're not weirdos. They are filled with the Holy Spirit. They are filled with the love of God, with the power of God, and they're going to pray with you. Some of you might say, I've heard this 1,000 times, but you've never stepped out in faith. Maybe you used to pray in tongues. Maybe you used to be filled with the Holy Spirit, but maybe you haven't really got into this thing recently because you've thought it's kind of weird. Some of you, this might be the very first time you're hearing this. Some of you, this might be completely new knowledge, completely new revelation, and you're going, man, this is amazing. I didn't know all this was in the Bible. I thought that the Holy Spirit was, you know, just for people to run around and do all those kind of things. And let me just tell you, there's nothing wrong with all those things. All those things are part of it. But you have to understand the basis of who the Holy Spirit is, of His character, of His nature, of the place that God has for the Holy Spirit in your life. Some of you, maybe you've chosen not to receive the Holy Spirit. Because you just say, I don't want that. I don't want to open myself up like that. I don't want to get over into the spirit where maybe I could get a demon. I believe in a room this big and certainly watching online that there's at least a few people here that maybe you've thought like that. Maybe you've heard people say that. So this is how we're going to end tonight. I know we didn't go super in-depth about praying in tongues. But Paul, the greatest apostle to ever live, the person who penned 75% of the New Testament, said, I pray in tongues more than all of y'all. Notice I said he penned the New Testament. He did not author it. The Holy Spirit authored it. What does the Bible say? Men wrote as the Holy Spirit gave them the utterance, right? The Holy Spirit is the author. And so I want to say this before we pray. What is the Holy Spirit wanting to author in your life? What change of your story is he wanting to write through you? You might have been a victim in the past. You might have been victimized. You might have had issues in your past. Your parents might have left you. Your parents might have never said they loved you, right? You might have had tragedy in your life. You might have had all kinds of stuff, all hell go wrong in your life. But the Holy Spirit is saying, I'm your comforter. I'm here for you to use. I want to lead you and guide you into all truth. I want to change your story. So I want everybody to stand up with me. And I want to ask anybody tonight, I want you to be honest with yourself. If you've never prayed in tongues, if you came in here tonight, and if I were to look at you and say, pray in tongues, and you wouldn't be able to do it, if that is something that you desire, whenever I say amen in just a minute, I want you to step out of your seats. And I want you to find one of these leaders on the side. They're going to pray with you. They're not going to push you down. They're not going to rough you up. They're not going to force you to do anything. Because remember, Paul said it's a choice. It's a choice that you have to make. Nobody can make it for you. I believe that the Holy Spirit has laid out the benefits tonight of having the Holy Spirit active in your life. And so now it's up to you to choose. Do you want that? Do you want to receive that? And I believe that as you do, your life is going to look different. Your walk with Jesus is going to look different. The things that you've been praying for, I believe, are going to start to come to pass. Because why? Whenever you pray in the Spirit, what does the Bible say? You pray out mysteries. So maybe there's been something that the Lord has been wanting you to pray about, or a way that He's wanting you to pray that thing out, but you haven't been able to unlock it yet. Because it's in the Spirit that God said you'll pray out mysteries. So I want every hand lifted in this house. I want every hand lifted. Lifting both hands is just a sign of surrender. Whenever the bank robbers come in, they say, stick them up. Everybody puts their hands up to say, I surrender. Whatever you want, that's what I'm going to do. And so when we lift our hands, we're just saying to God, Lord, whatever you want to do, we're here and we'll do it. So Father, right now in the name of Jesus, Holy Spirit, I thank you that you've been moving in this place, God, from the very moment the first note was played in worship. Throughout the message, God, as your scripture has been unlocked and unveiled, I thank you, Holy Spirit, God, that you've been leading us, guiding us, and revealing all truth tonight, God. And so, Father, we just receive with open arms, God. We receive your Spirit, God. We receive the fullness, God, of everything that you want to do in our lives and through our lives, God, with the help of the Holy Spirit. God, we say that we want to God, we want to be able to access heaven, God, with our prayer language, God. And God, we believe that whenever we pray in our prayer language, God, when we pray in tongues, God, that we're not praying to man, we're not speaking to man, we're not doing it for our understanding, God, but Lord, rather we are speaking directly to heaven. We are speaking in direct communication with you, God. And so, Father, I thank you that right now, Holy Spirit, you draw every person, God, that is in a desirous place, God, to pray in other tongues or to receive the Holy Spirit, God. We trust you for that tonight. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Would you worship with us and find your way on the sides if you need prayer tonight?